Hey folks, Josh here for another weekly business vlog. Thank you very much for tuning in. It is March the 10th. Time continues to fly. It's already March, which is good news if you're living in Canada like me, because it's certainly been a little bit warmer. Spring is around the corner. And yeah, can't complain. Let's just jump right into it, right? You don't want to hear me talk about the weather. Hopefully your last week has been good. Ours has been kind of crazy. We've had a very hectic 2 weeks. As I've mentioned in previous posts and in my Substacks and in my vlogs, we launched some really cool Canadian immigration AI 2 weeks ago. And ever since then, we've just been really busy. Busy in a good way, right? Inbound, lots of new immigration law firms are interested. We've added, I think we had a record 2 weeks, actually. I haven't looked at the books for the last 2 weeks. Usually I do bookkeeping at the end of the month. So I did bookkeeping like a week and a half ago, unfortunately. But I think if we look at 2 week periods over the last year, I think it's probably been a record 2 weeks for us because this was what I was hoping for, but you never know, right? When you launch a new product or service, you never really know. I kind of knew we would get some interest because AI is the craze. But for good reason, right? What a lot of people don't realize is that AI is going to change every single industry. It's just a matter of how quickly and by how much, right? In my opinion, right? Take it with a grain of salt. But I think it's going to change the way every single industry works, some more than others, some quicker than others, right? So for example, if you're a logo designer, you probably lost half your business overnight because of, you know, ChatGPT and the Canva plugins, and what are all the image generators now? I don't remember, like Midjourney, like all those, right? Totally changes like logo design and all that stuff overnight, right? Whereas maybe in legal tech or fintech, stuff like that, it's a little bit slower, right? There's more regulations, lawyers are, you know, a little more conservative, not as innovative, et cetera, et cetera. So AI is going to change the way every industry operates. It's just a matter of how quickly and by how much. And these immigration professionals in Canada are really buying into it. And I'm super happy because, number one, we're actually providing them with value, right? Like, we launched Canada's first immigration copilot. So imagine ChatGPT, but specialized specifically for Canadian immigration law. And that's super important because one of the downsides of a chatbot like ChatGPT is you don't know what information is the most up to date, right? Like if Immigration Canada launches a new program yesterday, is OpenAI going to be trained on that today? Probably not, right? So we keep the most up to date information and only immigration rules and regulations, right? So what's the other problem is if you ask something like OpenAI a question about the law, is it pulling its information from the law or is it pulling its answer from your mom's aunt's blog post in 2021 about their interpretation of the law, right? Or some schlub's Reddit post about that law, right? Where some other schlub gave the wrong answer, right? So now it's actually referring on incorrect information. So anyways, it's been really good, really effective. And it's funny how I was thinking about this the other day, how the focus, especially when you're a smaller company, like we are not a huge tech company, we're a smaller tech company. And it's funny how priorities can change so quickly at different stages. So for example, when you're building new products or features, you're very product focused, obviously. Then closer to launch, you're focused more on marketing and sales, right? How are we going to market this thing? How are we going to try to sell it, et cetera, et cetera. And then once the sales engine really starts running, I found my brain to shift a little bit more to operations, right? Because we're so busy now. Okay, well, how do we operate more efficiently? How do we build in more automation and AI so that we can get more done with fewer resources or fewer people? Or can we continue to scale at this rate but not have to hire or not have to hire as soon as we think, right? So for example, we're starting to build AI, not build, we're starting to leverage AI tools on the customer support side, right? Because I actually saw this is a total coincidence. We were talking about this and kind of implementing it already at Visto. And then yesterday or the day before, I saw a TikTok video talking about this huge tech company. This is like hundreds and hundreds of staff, right? Maybe thousands of staff. And it was basically an article saying that this tech company, this is kind of sad, but let's think about this as like a business owner. They basically shut down a 700-person customer support team and replaced it with AI, right? Now, again, I feel terrible for those 700 people that got laid off. I'm not disregarding that piece. But let's think about it as entrepreneurs who are running small companies like us, right? Does that mean that we can build and scale a huge customer support operation and barely even have to hire anybody, right? Like, that's extremely empowering for a small company like us, who we can't yet afford to hire a full-time customer support person. But what we can do is start leveraging AI to basically achieve grade A customer support without having to hire 700 people, right? And I think what the article mentioned was, when they implemented the AI and replaced those 700 human beings, their customer support score actually went up, right? Because when humans were doing the customer support, it took an average of like 10 minutes for their clients to get a response and get help and fix the problem. With AI, it was an average of like 1 minute, right? Because the AI can just start answering questions right away, right? So this is what I'm saying, right? AI is going to affect every industry: customer support, sales, video editing, photo development, whatever it's called, design. It's going to affect every single industry just in different ways and in different themes. So now what we're thinking a lot of is operations. How can we market more efficiently? How can we sell more efficiently? How can we onboard and train our new clients more efficiently? How can we support them, especially like for us, the first few months for a new client is so important, right? They decide to buy Visto. Awesome. We're super excited. But almost as important is, how do we support them over those first 2 to 3 months so that they can make the most of the platform and start realizing all the value really quickly? Especially for a platform like ours, where there's a lot of functionality, right? There's a big difference between like a platform and a tool, right? Like, for example, I'm actually recording this right now using a tool called Descript. And this is maybe a bad example because Descript does do a lot of things, but let's just say I want to use Descript to record and edit videos. Okay, that's it. I know that one thing, right? I just need to learn how to do that one thing really well, and I'm going to be happy. But when you're selling something like a bigger platform like QuickBooks or Visto, right? Like, you're implementing Visto for your entire law firm, there's a lot that is usable on that platform. You can use it to invite clients. You can use it to prep their documents. You can use our chatbot. You can use it to build custom applications, right? Like, there's a lot we have to show people and support them in learning so that they can make the most of the platform. So anyways, how do we give better customer support over the first 2-3 months and ideally in a scalable, more automated way? So that's what we're starting to think about. I haven't implemented a little bit on the AI side on the customer support chat that we have. And that's so far been pretty good. We're still keeping a close eye on it, you know, evaluating how good the quality is, right? So we still have human beings watching all of those chats to make sure that they're actually effective and jumping in when they're not, right? Because we want to give really good customer support. So anyways, it's just interesting to kind of think about how priorities and what you're thinking about can change so quickly and so often when you're running a business, really of any kind. This doesn't have to be for a tech company. It could be for, you know, any type of business. And that's kind of, you know, been top of mind late. I'm actually going, I went live. I'm recording this ahead of time. And this is going live on a Sunday. I'm actually recording this on a Friday morning. And I'm going live this afternoon to show off our chatbot. So basically, to anybody who has questions about immigration, can join my LinkedIn Live, ask questions in the comment. I'm going to throw it into the chatbot and see how helpful it can be. So that'll be fun. Maybe I'll let you know how that goes next week. But yeah, that's been a lot of the thinking for this week. Be interesting to know how you folks are or are not leveraging AI, different parts of your business to scale it, to make it more efficient. I think there's going to be a proliferance of tiny companies over the next 5-10 years, right? Gone might be the huge VC-backed multi-thousand person companies. There will obviously be some, Like the Googles and the Facebooks are never going to go down to 50 staff, right? There's going to be mega corps that have thousands of people. But is the new trend going to be, hey, we only need 2, 3, 4 people and a ton of automation and AI, and we can reach incredible milestones like never before, right? Or are 1 or 2 people going to band together and just use AI and build like $1 million, $2 million company, right? Hey, we're doing $2 million a year, but there's 3 of us. So we don't even need to grow anymore. We're happy. We're going to chill, right? Because what's your overhead? If you're doing $2 million a year with 3 people, what's your overhead? At most $300,000-$400,000, right? For salaries and stuff, depending on obviously who those people are. But if you're like 1 or 2 owners with 1 or 2 staff, your overhead's max maybe $500,000. So you got a tight operation spitting off $1.5 million in profit a year. Who cares about growth? Obviously, if you want to keep growing, keep growing. But maybe you don't want to build a huge team and manage people. So I think that's going to become more popular, maybe even the norm one day in the next few years. I think the solopreneur, the rise of the solopreneur will now be able to happen even faster because they have so many tools at their fingertips. And more startups are going to be able to do much more with much less. I wonder how the VC industry is going to evolve over the next couple of years. Because if you work backwards, if startups need less people, then it means they need less money, right? Because what's your most expensive cost over the first few years of any startup? It's people, right? Typically to hire engineers and sales and stuff like that. But what if you don't need as many people? Well, then you don't need as much money. So then do you need to raise big rounds? Probably not, or not as big rounds. Okay, so do you need VCs, right? So it'll be interesting to see how that evolves. I don't have any experience in the VC industry. We never raised VC money. So it'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But anyways, that's it for me. Oh, let me talk about books. If you're watching on YouTube, I just finished a couple days ago, Made in America. I'm holding it up to the screen right now. Made in America by Sam Walton. Great book. He is the founder, or was, may he rest in peace, the founder of Walmart. And I don't do retailing, but it was a really good book for any entrepreneur or any business person, in my opinion. It really had a lot of not similarities, but it really had the same feel as the Ray Kroc memoir. Forget what it was, Founder, I think it was called. I don't remember what the title of the book, but if you just look up like Ray Kroc memoir, Ray Kroc autobiography, he was the founder of McDonald's. And very similar vibes is what I'll say, in a good way. So anyway, super interesting to learn about how he started, how they built the company, the ups, the downs, the struggles. I loved it. I would highly recommend it. And it was a good book. So that's it for me. That definitely gets the thumbs up. I've had a good string of really good reads lately. I think it's just, I know what I like. You give me a business biography or autobiography about like a founder, like a successful founder, CEO, entrepreneur, and I'm probably going to like it, especially because a lot of these are just written very well. So anyways, that's it for me. Hopefully you found this helpful. If you have any thoughts, comments, please feel free to drop them. If you're watching on YouTube, if you can like the video, make sure you're subscribed. That really helps. And if you have any thoughts, throw them in the comments and, you know, I check all of them. If you're listening on your favorite podcast platform, I don't think you can comment. Well, I guess it depends where you're listening. If you're listening on Substack, I think you can comment. But if you're listening on something else, I don't think you can. But anyways, if you can give the pod a review, 5-star reviews or 4, you know, whatever you think it is, that stuff always helps. And just make sure you're also subscribed on Substack. The link will be in the description, whether you're listening on or watching on YouTube or listening on the podcast. Because that's where I send my weekly newsletter, all the updates. I link to this vlog when it goes live so that, you know, you don't miss it. Anyways, that's it for me. Thanks again for tuning in. Hope you have a great business and otherwise week ahead. And I will see you in the next video. Take care. Have a good one.